Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
What's happening, folks? It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show. We're going live right now. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. We're having a good show. We got Luis Valdez joining
Thank
us.
Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at Liberty Rush. .com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yeah, that's right, folks, and Dave's out now. You may have seen I posted recently from Dave, full-on band. You know, he's got his guitar, lead, rhythm, bass, drums, and him on vocals and acoustic guitars. And I posted an amazing clip of the Star Spangled Banner as only Dave Bray can do it. So if you want to check it out, head on over to DaveBrayUSA.com, and you can get all his merchandise, music, everything's there, all the information you need at DaveBrayUSA.com. And, of course, Liberty Rush, LibertyRush.com. Social media without the libtarded rhetoric, you know what I mean? Good stuff. Just like my friend Rob said, no libtarded rhetoric. So it is Holy Week here, and on Patriot Nation Radio, we definitely kneel at the cross and stand for the flag. I want to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good Friday is tomorrow, and by 3 p.m. tomorrow, it will be done. And then on Sunday, he will rise, and he has risen. And he is the reason for so many things, and I accept him as my Lord and Savior. I hope you do too, and that this is the biggest celebration and holiday of your life is Easter. Now, although I do celebrate Christmas, Easter for me is the big one. But without Christmas, there's no Easter, so therefore I celebrate the birth of Christ as well as the salvation and the death of Christ. Thank you. Amen. And I'm just going to say, Father, help us to obey your teaching. We love you and we desire to please you in all things. Help us to be obedient even when our flesh is weak. Help us to honor you by doing it your will because we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to be talking about a special session that's coming up here. A funny day, 420. What a great day that is. We'll be on 420. For some, that's a magical time of day, you know. It's Earth Day. Back in the day, in like 1973, it was Earth Day or something, you know, that was the kickoff. And it's somebody's birthday. We don't care to mention at this time, but it's somebody's birthday who was an evil dictator who was responsible for the death of 6 million people. Also his birthday. So that's a horrible thing. Figures that back in the 73, the liberal hippies would pick 420 to be their Earth Day. Kind of fitting when you look at the leftists of today. But anyway, tonight's guest is Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America, Florida. And we're going to be talking about this constitutional carry that is being put out there. We all want it. Us Florida law-abiding citizen American patriot folks want to have constitutional carry. Because a lot of the things that the leftists don't understand in this world is when you enact more gun control, you're only controlling law-abiding citizens because criminals don't obey laws, hence the name criminal. So therefore, gun laws only restrict law-abiding citizens. Criminals will continue to use weapons, guns, knives, bats, sticks, whatever they can get their grubby little hands on to commit violence against the law-abiding citizens who are more and more having their hands tied and having more and more restrictions on their self-defense capability, which we cannot stand for. We have folks here in the Florida legislature who, you know, in my view, because they had their hands all over the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas anti-gun bill after the massacre down there in the school with this clown who's on whatever. I don't like to say their names and give them publicity for their crime, so I usually just leave their names out. But it caused big uproar, and these rhino Republicans had their hands all over the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas anti-gun bill. And I believe in my own heart, and I think I touched on this last time Lewis joined us, was because these guys wrote this bill and passed this bill and stood up to this bill, that they will never, ever be in favor of constitutional carry because it overrides the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas bill that they have their pretty little hands all over, and they do not want to tarnish that. And I don't know how some of these guys get it after writing that bill and signing that bill and passing that bill, which included red flag laws and raising the age from 18 to 21 to be able to purchase a gun, leaving a small sect of adults in this country unable to protect themselves or their family. These clowns did that. And so, special session's coming up. I'm not sure if constitutional carry is part of the special session. I do believe there's going to be three items on the menu, as you would say, or on the agenda. And we're hoping that constitutional carry is one of those. And without further ado, I want to bring in our guest tonight, Mr. Luis Valdez from Gun Owners for America. Welcome to the show, Luis.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back on the air. Just a quick, it's Gun Owners of America, not Gun Owners for America.
Oh, did I say for America? So sorry.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Gun Owners
it's a common
America.
Mistake. Everyone does that. Don't worry. But it's a pleasure to be back on the air. And I want to jump right into it. Yep. Starting April 19th, next week, we have a special session being done. So, for your listening audience that isn't aware, constitutional carry is a bill that basically says if you are a law-abiding Floridian and you legally own a firearm, you can legally carry it either concealed or open. 25 states currently have it in one form or another. Alabama and Georgia are just the latest two that passed it. They're the 24th and 25th states. So literally every tourist that drives to Florida now will be driving through a constitutional carry jurisdiction before they arrive within our borders, just to set that in. So
right. Just to get here, they have to drive
years.
Through it.
Yeah. So the fact that Florida, under a Republican supermajority leadership in the legislature, constantly proclaims that we are the freest state in the union is bupkis. We don't have constitutional
right.
carry. We don't even have open carry. Mind you, if I had a concealed carry permit in Connecticut or even Massachusetts, I could open carry up there. I can't open carry in Florida with a concealed carry permit.
Right. Hence the name concealed.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, it's not even that. It's the simple fact that the majority of states have open carry, and Florida doesn't even have that, but our legislature has the nerve to claim that we're one of the freest states in the country, which is, again, bupkis. It's bull. So,
well, when it comes to COVID-19 and face masks, we had some freedom. But other than that, we don't have constitutional carry. We have concealed carry. And we have red flag laws enacted under the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas debacle.
Very much so, which was passed by a Republican legislature, so your listeners know. And the current Senate President, Wilton Simpson, who is running for Commissioner of Agriculture, he is the man that authored the bill. Oh, he's not getting my vote. He authored the bill. He's in no way getting my vote. He's not getting my vote. He is not getting my organization's support. You can take that to the bank.
Nope. He's from my area. actually in Florida here. He started out like in my district. I had voted for him at one time for some position. But I'm on his little list, and I send him little messages like, hey, don't forget constitutional carry. Election is coming up pretty soon. You want to get elected. Remember the constituents. Remember the county that you come from is a Trump county. We are like 65, maybe 70% Trump supporters in this county. So remember what your constituents stand for. I keep sending a message like that.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem with that. Donald Trump endorsed him. And it gets even worse than that. For folks that don't know, Donald Trump congratulated him and Florida's Republicans for passing gun control after Parkland. So Trump might be good on multiple issues. When it comes to the Second Amendment, Trump is not good.
He's wishy-washy, if anything. There was a quote from him. They were in a meeting, and he said, well, we can take the guns first and worry about the other stuff
later.
That's almost a direct – yeah, that's like a direct quote. We can worry about due process later. That was coming from a president. That's scary. One who's conservative and touts the Second Amendment as why you should vote for him.
Well, that's the problem right there. A lot of people – simply think that because a candidate has that little R by their name designating them as a Republican and that they campaign as they're conservative, they automatically think that those candidates are pro-gun, when in reality, that's not the case. I have audio recordings of multiple lawmakers from the Florida legislature that flat out said the reason why constitutional carry did not pass last year or this year during the regular session was because of the Republican leadership, specifically our House Speaker Chris Sprawls and our Senate President Wilton Simpson. Just last weekend, I spoke with Representative Spencer Roach and Cord Byrd, and they both again reiterated the facts that the reason why constitutional carry has not advanced in Florida is the Republican legislative leadership. They're legislative dictators.
Yep.
Wilton Simpson just back on the 11th, I mean literally 3 days ago, he was in Pasco County. I believe it was the Republican Women's Club of Pasco County or the Women's Republican Club of Pasco County. I can't remember the full name of the organization, but they invited him as a guest speaker, and he spoke for about 4 or 5 minutes. And he literally went on as the Senate president, I really don't have that much power. Things have to, for pro-gun legislation to advance, you have to have a companion bill in both chambers. And, you know, listening to that, I literally had the spit take of spitting coffee out of my mouth because it's just like, well, one, there's nothing in our legislative rules that states that there has to be a companion bill in both chambers for a bill to advance. Look, I might only have a high school diploma, but I still remember Schoolhouse of Rocks, how a bill becomes a law. And it's the same process here in Florida as it is in Washington, D.C. A bill could be introduced in either chamber. If it advances and passes that chamber, it then goes on to the next one in that chamber. Could either accept it or kick it back or introduce their own substitute standard, which then has to go through reconciliation. But this whole bull from Simpson of one saying that as the Senate president that he really doesn't have any power. No, you're the Senate president. You choose who chairs committees. You choose what bills go to what committees. And on top of that, you set the legislative agenda and the policies. And furthermore,
right. Nope, that's no power.
That's no power. And furthermore, he wields considerable power because he could go to other lawmakers and says, if you back something that I don't like, I'm going to make sure everything you want to push dies. And it was to the point that Representative Michelle Salzman earlier this year, she stated, I like constitutional carry, but as a professional courtesy, I'm not going to support the bill publicly because I have other bills that I want to advance, and the leadership, they're against it. The leadership pushed the Parkland bill and constitutional carry completely destroys the entire premise behind the Parkland bill.
Right.
So they're not going to back it, which means I can't back it because I'm not going to bite the hand that feeds me.
Right. Exactly. And that's to me, is a huge problem that we have in our legislature is people that are actually rhinos. There's no doubt. A true conservative is all about the Second Amendment, understanding that the Second Amendment protects all 26 other amendments. And without it, it fails, it falls to pieces, and it goes bye-bye. I believe the Second Amendment is the reason we still have, or a major reason, why we still have a constitutional republic. You know, if you want to say we still have that, sometimes it looks like it's in shambles, and they took the Constitution down off the wall from the museum and, you know, used it to start a fire and then threw the rest of it into the flames, and it's gone. I mean, sometimes that's how what it seems like.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people think the Constitution grants rights. The Constitution grants nothing. The Constitution It enumerates rights. The Bill of Rights specifically was an enumerated list of inalienable rights, rights that existed even before the Constitution was ever drafted, before pen touched paper. And the Founding Fathers completely understood that because when the original Constitutional Convention occurred, because remember, our country was originally founded under the Articles of Confederation. That was our first founding document. And when the Constitutional Convention was called in the late 1880s to amend and possibly replace the Articles of Confederation, there originally wasn't even a Bill of Rights. But the Bill of Rights was specifically added as the first 10 amendments to the Constitution as a warning list to the new federal government they were creating, specifically stating these rights are inalienable. These are rights that the American people are born with, that they are granted these rights by God and their creator, and that you cannot mess with them. These were rights that existed before the drafting of the Constitution, and when you study the Federalists versus Anti-Federalists, some of them were even against the idea of a Bill of Rights because they were of the philosophical and political mindset that, well, everyone knows these are rights that are inherent, that we're born with them. We don't need a list of them. And thank God that the Bill of Rights was created, because if not, we would have seen how things progress. So in regard, going back to the special session, so at the end of our regular session, back in the beginning of March, the governor was pretty ticked. DeSantis was angry. He wanted his main priority, of course, was the congressional redistricting maps, and he was angry at the legislature for that. But there was multiple issues. On March 29th, and I'm going to quote the governor directly, he said, "I would love to have property insurance. I would love to have data privacy. I would love to have constitutional carry. There's a lot of great things, but you know, we just went through a legislative session where they failed to deliver on some of those priorities. I will ask the legislative leaders, is there something that you can get across the finish line, and I will encourage them to do that." And he said that as he was declaring the proclamation for the special session, which starts on the 19th, so next Tuesday. And the proclamation only covers the redistricting, but the governor said, after, you know, his little speech and declaring it, he says, if as time progresses, if the legislature doesn't individually take care of these issues, I will expand the scope of the special session and call another one. So right now, Representative Sabatini has stepped up to the plate, and he's initiated a call for a special session for constitutional carry. And he did it. There's three ways that a special session could be called. The governor could call it, the legislative leadership could call it, or a overall three-fifths majority of the lawmakers could call it. And the way that Sabatini is doing it is through the three-fifths majority method. So what he has to do is he first has to poll 20% of the lawmakers. So that's out of 160 lawmakers, that's 32. And he has to get 32 of them to draft a petition that he could send to the Secretary of State saying, we want a special session. Secretary of State Laura Lee If she gets those 32 petitions, she would then conduct an official polling of the legislature, and that would be the three-fifths majority. So the math off the top of my head, you would need 24 senators, and I forget the total number in the House, but there's a total Republican majority that could do it. There's, you don't need a single Democrat to come on board to call a special session. So Sabatini has stepped up to the plate. He's starting that process. And we are going to look at this as if it was a direct floor vote for constitutional carry. Any lawmaker that either directly abstains from the petition or denounces it or rejects it, we are going to treat that as a no vote, as if the bill was before them in their chamber for a full floor vote, and they voted no. That's how we're treating it, and we're going to treat it like that because right now this is a direct vote where every lawmaker could have their say on this matter. Because traditionally, the way the anti-gun Republicans shield themselves is via committee. Since the bills have to go through committee and committees are not the full legislature, if the bill never comes up in a committee for a vote, there's no voting record. Well, now we have basically what will be a voting record, because anyone that doesn't complete the petition, that's a no vote. That's them saying, no, we don't want a special session for constitutional carry. So it's going to be a very interesting couple of days coming up. But
right. And is there something that people can do? I always say things like send an email, make a phone call. Is there a place folks can get the information that they want?
Yes, very much so. So if your listeners go to gunowners.org and they look for our call to actions, our action alerts, we are going to have an action alert specifically about this, about the petitions for the call to create a special session for constitutional carry. And the action alert is going to be very simple. All you have to do is if you're a Florida resident, you have to put in your address and your name, and it auto-populates for you who your state representative and state senator is. And you get a pre-filled email that you could edit. So if you want to add something to it, if you want to subtract something to it, if you want to, completely delete it and put in your own message, you can. But it does all the hard work for you. It says, hey, this is your lawmakers, and you send the message, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. It's real quick. And if your listeners are outside of Florida, they can actually help. So they could call the governor, and they could call the legislative leadership. And they could tell the legislative leadership and the governor, very simple, I live outside of Florida, I'm a tourist. If they happen to live in a state with constitutional carry, since now there's 25 states, half the country is constitutional carry, they could reinforce that, no, blood didn't run in the streets when we passed it, we didn't have the shootout at the OK Corral, crime dropped, all of that. But the other message they could tell the governor and the legislative leadership is that, hey, as a potential tourist, I would visit Florida more often if constitutional carry passed, because the constant excuse that I hear from the lawmakers is, oh, my God, it's going to affect our tourist industry. Our tourists are going to be scared if they see if Floridians are carrying without permits or if they open carry, never mind the fact that 47 states have open carry in one form or another. The only states that have an outright ban on it is Florida, Illinois, and New York.
Right. Crazy. So now I am right now presently looking at myfloridahouse.gov, folks. You can go over there, and there's a House directory. You can speak to the House Majority Office, the House Minority Office. There's all kinds of links here. You can actually see the redistricting website and what their plans are. That's what I got to find out is, when is this redistricting map going to come out? Because I need to know where I'm voting. I have two great candidates in my area, Pastor Jack Martin, running for right now it's District 11, but we're hearing he's going to be now District 12, and I'm in 11, But does that mean that I'm going to be also switching to 12, or will I still be an 11? Because if I remain an 11, Laura Luma is running. So, I mean, I don't know. Not bad.
Yeah.
But you can go over to myfloridahouse.gov, and there's a lot of information there, folks. You can check that out.
So for your listeners that are outside of the state, here's three important phone numbers. The first is to Governor DeSantis' office. That is 850-717-9337. Again, 850-717-9337. That's the governor's office. Call the governor. Tell them you want a special session called for constitutional carry, and that if Florida passes constitutional carry as a tourist, you will visit Florida more often. Now, that's for your out-of-state listeners.
And what's that phone number again? One more time.
850-717-9337. That is the most important person you could call. You can call the legislative leadership. Yeah, great. But the governor is who you really need to put the pressure on. If the governor could skip the whole 3/5 special session requirements, and he could just issue another proclamation. Now, he says he would if things don't go smoothly, but we need to publicly support DeSantis, and we need to let him know that we back him on this, that this is an issue that is crucial. And on top of that, we all know the governor wants to run in 2024 for higher office, for federal office. And guess what? If you put this on the radar now as a national issue, he will run against other Republicans in a primary race. And right now, you know, you have the rumor mill that Greg Abbott of Texas wants to run for president. You have the rumor mill that Brian Kemp of Georgia wants to run for president.
Right.
I can't remember the governor's name from Indiana and Ohio, but you know, you have a crowded field of Republican governors that they're all going to be vying to run for president in 2024.
Right.
And guess what? They all pass constitutional carry. DeSantis hasn't put pen to paper on that. He's gonna be lacking on his political resume on the Second Amendment if this doesn't get done and doesn't get done soon. So
right.
Your listeners outside of Florida hold tremendous power, especially because of that, because they could, by calling now, they're sending him the message saying, we will remember this by 2024. If you don't do this,
right,
you might vote for someone else in the primaries.
Me personally, I'm pushing for him for 28. I have my sights set on somebody else. But if it comes down to it, we know where my vote goes.
Yep.
You know, if he beats him out,
so,
I mean, that's just where it's
so
going to be.
That's the issue. So next week is the special session. It's from the 19th to the 22nd. Of course, GOA, we're going to be at the Capitol. We're going to be monitoring. We're going to be putting pressure on lawmakers. On April 20th, a couple of allies of ours and ourselves included, we're going to be there for a constitutional carry rally. The more people that show up, the better. You know what they say, be proud and be loud. The squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yeah, we see that. We see that all over the place. Just look at woke Disney.
Yep. I mean, the pressure has built up with Disney to the point that we have Republican lawmakers in the House and the Senate right now that they're refunding campaign campaign contributions that Disney made to them. I believe Representative Barnaby.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Senate President, Wilton Simpson, has received at least $75,000 in Disney donations in his career.
The question is, has he refunded it?
Yeah, you're right. That we don't know. But I know that I've seen that was disclosed recently that he has taken a lot of money. So true that. Has he refunded it? We do not know at this time.
Yeah. Representative Barnaby.
That was during other races and other times. He already had that money and spent that money. Not recent contributions.
Well,
that's past contributions.
Yeah, probably. Now, as I was going to say, I know Representative Barnaby has publicly stated that he has refunded his campaign contributions from Disney. So I know he's publicly stated, hey, yeah, I did it. I'm not 100% sure if Representative Fetterhoff, if she did or not. I saw her pop up on a news story that she might have possibly done it. But in the end, you have Republican lawmakers that are literally refunding campaign donations from Disney. And I could say this without a shadow of a doubt. There's over 25 registered lobbyists for Disney operating in Florida right now at our Capitol. That tells you how much of a fight we have here to get our rights truly protected and respected by our state government. As you know, I've spoken in the past on previous episodes how Florida's gun laws are rooted completely in Jim Crow era bigotry. How after the 1880s, when the Union Army pulled out of Florida at the end of the Civil War from Reconstruction, and the Southern Democrats regained control, the first thing they did was they instituted the Black Codes. They created laws specifically to disarm freed blacks. Now, on paper, the law was to be applied across the board, but the 1941 State Supreme Court case of Watson v. Stone clearly says otherwise, when Justice Buford flat out said, "Oh, I know of this law. We never intended to apply this law against the white population of Florida. We only applied it against blacks." And the law he was meaning was the permitting system, that you needed a permit to own and carry a firearm in Florida. And guess what? You still need a permit to carry a firearm in Florida. The entire permitting system from then to now is a holdover of Jim Crow bigotry. Sure, it's shell issue. You know, I hear that now. Oh, but it's shell issue. It's no longer May issue. Well, as we saw during the pandemic, Nikki Fried, the current commissioner of agriculture, she shut down the division of licensing that handles and processes the applications of permits for 3 months, not because it was a public health issue, simply because she could.
Right.
And the majority is done online and through the mail.
A lot of this was all done under the guise of an emergency. We're under emergency orders. We have to do these things. Yeah, and that's the excuse that a lot of these people use. And that's one of the reasons they had this trucker convoy. I don't know if you watched the convoy at all, but one of their main things was to drop this emergency that we're under, because without that, they can't do the vaccine. So they're never going to get rid of that emergency declaration as long as we're vaccinating people. That's just my gut telling me that. That's just my common sense from listening and watching and hearing what they're saying, you know?
Well, to paraphrase Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste. I don't remember if that's exact quote, but
yeah, something along that.
The meaning of that was very simple. If you have a crisis, that means people are more susceptible to things that they wouldn't usually be susceptible to in terms of government changes and government regulations and the change of law and the change of society. And clearly you had authoritarians on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, because this isn't a left versus right issue. This is a freedom versus authoritarianism issue. And you have authoritarians on both sides of the political spectrum.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Mr. Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America, and we're talking about a host of things. We're kind of veering off from the main topic right now, and it is the Patriot Nation Radio Show Live, ladies and gentlemen.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
And we're back. All right, Louis, what's happening?
So, you know, you said that we were veering. I think we're still on the topic main topic of the conversation, which comes down to the basic premise of liberty and freedom, because that's what constitutional carry is about.
Yes.
It's about that if you are an honest, law-abiding member of society and you own a firearm, you should be able to carry it without a government permission slip. Because as we've seen, anytime the government turns a right into a privilege that you have to lease back to exercise, it's no longer a right, because anything government gives, government can take away.
Right. I always say that too. I said anything you need to buy a license for, is you're buying a license for a freedom that they stole. And now that they're capitalizing on that and making you pay. It's crazy.
As we were fighting for constitutional carry in Alabama, the sheriffs in Alabama were the issuing authority. And they complained left and right about, oh, it's an officer safety issue. Our deputies are going to be in danger, blah, 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 blah. Now, look, as a 15-year veteran law enforcement officer myself, that's a load of bull. Because bad
right.
guys do bad things no matter what the law says. As we saw in New York City, you need a permit to own a firearm. You need a permit to carry a firearm. The subways are a gun-free zone. Did that stop that masked nut job from doing what he did?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
All
the guy with the gun on that train would have stopped it. You know, a good guy with a gun would definitely be a
deterrent. Was disarmed the law-abiding public. Yeah, the law-abiding public was disarmed. So everyone in New York City that day that followed the law, they were victims, not because of the shooter. They were ultimately victims because of the government. Because the government said, well, we don't trust you to defend yourself. When in reality, and again, I say this as a veteran, as a former veteran law enforcement officer with 15 years wearing the badge, 9 out of 10 times, we're reactionary. We show up after the fact to take down a report. We don't prevent. Law enforcement doesn't prevent crime. Law enforcement apprehends the perpetrators of said crime.
Yeah, they come in after the crime.
Yeah, the only thing that stops bad people from doing bad things is good people that are able to fight back.
Amen.
You are your own first responder.
They had active shooter training at work because apparently my job's going woke. This is what I'm getting. They have diversity luncheon coming up at the end of May. They're doing diversity. We're having active shooter training, and I asked the sheriff at the end, any questions? Yes. What would you say to a citizen in an active shooter situation whose instinct is to run towards the gunfire to protect and save people as opposed to running away, like, you know, from the gunfire for safety? What do you say to that person? You know, my thought train is bang, 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 bang. You guys go that way. I got to get this guy. And he said, I would suggest that you don't do that. You run. Sorry. I'm going to try to save lives. That's what I'm going to do. I can't help myself.
Yeah, and
you know what I mean?
There's nothing absolutely wrong with the American society.
Your phone's breaking up.
That as a people, as a society, we put others before ourselves, and we do that up to and including putting ourselves at risk. I mean, we see it all the time with Good Samaritans. We see it all the – hell, as a cop, I still remember one day when I was a police officer, I was looking for a missing child. She was mentally handicapped. She was very fearful of adults. She was about 8, 9 years old. And if you approached her, she would run, and it was pouring rain. And I remember that the only way I could literally get to her was I had to run after her and but she would kick, and, you know, she was scared, poor little girl. And I remember. And I remember there was a passerby that he stopped, and he's like, hey, what can I do? And I said, do me a favor. Go to my car, go to my squad car, and bring it over here and reach into my trunk, grab the raincoat, let's get her dry, you know, let's try to calm her down. And this guy didn't have to do any of that. But he
right.
did. Why? Because he was a good Samaritan. And how many news stories have we seen where an armed citizen saves a cop's life because a cop is getting his butt kicked, or worse, he's injured, he's been shot, she's been shot, and that good Samaritan who was armed was willing to stop what they were doing, put themselves in danger, and save that officer's life.
We clearly don't have
enough
of those stories coming across the news wires. If they were reporting those stories, folks' idea of the Second Amendment might be quite different. But, of course, the news only reports when multiple people are shot. And you know, if two people are gunned down, you hear it's a little article in the back of the newspaper. It might get 2 seconds on the air. Oh, two people were gunned down in the park, you know, Tuesday, and then that's it. They don't say nothing until it's, you know, three or more people, and that they can use it for their anti-gun narrative.
Well, the anti-gun narrative goes even further than that. You know, they constantly release, oh, there's X number of school shootings a year in the country.
Yeah, that's
yeah. What they're also reporting
I did some
is
research on them numbers.
Yeah, they're also reporting the fact that you have one dope dealer robbing another dope dealer on the corner of the school at 12 midnight on a Saturday. Yeah, that's not a school shooting.
Right.
That's just crime.
Right.
It just happened to be within the 1,000-foot area of the school zone.
Right.
But,
and
of
then
course, they use
as
that
a school
to bolster,
shooting.
Yeah, they use that to bolster the numbers and make the politically uneducated and the politically uninvolved fearful of, oh, my God, there's this rash of school shootings. No, there's not a rash of school shootings. It's just that you had one dirtbag robbing another dirtbag, and he happened to be selling his dime bag of Coke in front of the school.
Right.
So
it's crazy how they manipulate. And they do that in all aspects. That's not just gun crimes. Those folks with agendas like that do that with everything. Things that are way outside the purview of the whole statistic, they're somehow getting that added to the statistic to bolster the numbers. We've seen that through COVID, how they pumped up the COVID case numbers. They just do whatever they can. You know, and people were having strokes while having COVID, and that was a COVID death. They were having car accidents while having COVID, and that was a COVID death. They inflate numbers. They do it on purpose to push their narrative or their control. That's just the way it is with these power-hungry tyrants that we're under rule of.
Look, with COVID, I had it. It kicked my butt. I mean, but
I never
my
got
personal
it.
Health is, you know, my personal health is that it did a doozy on me. But I know some people that they had it. They didn't show a symptom at all. You know, it depends. It really depends. But
I'm thinking I did have it because I haven't had the correct sense of smell since last August. You know, I can't smell anything still. But I never had like a where I had fever and sick and I can't breathe and I was coughing and dying. I just can't smell nothing still since August.
You know, that might be a blessing depending on the time of year and where you're shopping.
Right. That too,
but,
or if you have to go into a crowded restroom.
Yeah. But you know, to get back to the point at hand, yeah, people constantly skew statistics to try to push their authoritative narrative, because here's the honest truth. If you want to look at honest statistics, every state that has passed constitutional carry has had an overall drop in crime. And even more interesting, they've had a rise in people seeking firearms training. Because as more people don't have to jump through such a burden to exercise their rights, to lease back their rights that they want to exercise, they individually seek more training. Why? Because they want to better themselves. Because in Florida right now, if you want to get a concealed carry permit, you have to take a state-certified safety class. Well,
yep.
Look, I've seen some of the classes. All it is, it's a guy reading the law for 4 hours. Then he sets up a bucket of sand. He gives someone a single shot, a single action Rough Rider Heritage revolver loaded with 22 shorts. And he has him shoot 6 rounds into that bucket of sand from a distance of like 7 yards. That's not firearms
right.
training. That's just bull.
Nope.
But that sets a false narrative because it's mandated by the state. That then sets a false narrative in the public saying, well, I'm trained. I know what I'm doing. Well, no. When it comes to exercising every right, you have to take personal responsibility. And as a firearms owner,
yes.
I take personal responsibility. I seek out training out of my own pocket, not because the state mandates that I have to, but because I want to better myself.
Right.
And
you want to have true aim as well.
Well, that's the interesting thing we've noticed. In every state that passes constitutional carry, you have an uptick in people seeking training. And what was interesting about it is the trainers that were against constitutional carry, they were the ones who basically they made their money because the state mandated it and they had a very bad product in terms of the training class. Now, when you remove the mandatory requirements, you know, it's separating the wheat from the chaff. The cream rises, you know, that whole deal. The better trainers that actually put on a good class with good subject material, they're in hot demand. People want to go to them left and right. And on top of that, you have a reduction in crime. You have – because your criminals are there going like, wait, now everyone could be armed? Damn, I'm going to have to go somewhere else if I want to apply my trade.
Or the ones that think that or don't know and they go out and then their friends start seeing them like, holy crow, that lady had her own weapon. Oh, and that other guy last week, he had his own weapon. Why do these people all have guns? They start, if they don't know about it, they learn pretty quickly.
Yep. I mean, we could just look at the crime stats. We could look at places that have constitutional carry versus places that have draconian gun laws. So we could look at New York,
Chicago.
We could look at Illinois. We could look at California. We could look at New Jersey. You know, places that it's let me rephrase that. Illinois now, because of the courts, they're now shall issue with concealed carry, but still, the city of Chicago is pretty much a gun-free zone for the most part through their political wrangling of the law. But especially New York, New Jersey, and California, we see the constant reports of higher crime rates. They just reported in California that there was a gang of criminals that all they would do is they would follow people from you know, their daily activities to where they live in the nicer areas, and they'd rob them to the point that they ran over a woman to steal her watch. And this is done by a gang of, like, you know, four or five guys. And they're constantly in and out. It's a revolving door system because California, I forget the proposition they passed, but basically making that if you commit a crime under a certain financial threshold, it's a misdemeanor to where you don't have to do time. You could get a release on recognizance with a future court date, and it doesn't stack. So, I mean, it's basically a revolving door for these criminals. Wow.
And that's
Texas,
what I'm thinking. This guy in Brooklyn that shot up people on the subway platform, he's probably going to be out in 2 days. Going to let him out.
Who knows? But if you look at Texas,
luckily he's under federal charges, so that'll hold him.
Yeah. They're charging with terrorism. But if you look at Texas, when we got constitutional carry passed in Texas, you know, everyone goes, oh my God, there was an uptick in violence. Like, no, it wasn't an uptick in violence. It was an uptick in self-defense shootings. It was the public now saying, wait, I could be armed? Oh, this guy's trying to rob me? I ain't going to be no victim. It's amazing. You had a slight uptick in self-defense shootings, but crime dropped dramatically.
Yep, it always does. In any time that there's people carrying, the crime rate is low. And it's amazing, you know, the social media, the mainstream media, and the pundits all lie about the whole thing constantly. And people never go, well, that sounds crazy. Let me just look into that myself. Folks don't do research. They just list whatever they're told, okay, and they just go with it. I can't understand that. I've always been like, well, that sounds kind of fishy. Let me look into that a little bit. What the heck is that? You know, I question things. I don't know why I do it. It's just something that I've always done. If I don't think it's right, or even if I think it's right, I still want to know. I'm going to start asking some questions. You know,
what,
like
Reagan said. Reagan said it best: trust but verify.
Right. It's what you got to do, and that's everything. Meet a new person from down the block. I don't, you know, I just met that person. Maybe you want to do a little Google search. I don't know. Sometimes, you know, you never know. You're meeting strangers. So someone like who's in the public eye a lot, you're meeting a lot of people all the time. You can't just be like, hey, come on in, you know. Who knows? So you always got to be careful.
You know, speaking of social media, what's interesting is I've noticed a very interesting pattern with social media. So a lot of people that are in favor of gun control, they constantly use the belief of, well, you know, conservatives and gun owners, they're racist, they're bigots, they're this and that. And I constantly throw the facts back at them of the simple truth of, actually, no, gun control proponents are the racists and bigots, because gun control historically was passed specifically to disarm minority populations so they could be enslaved and oppressed. After the Civil War, the entire South passed gun control to disarm free blacks. New York passed the Sullivan Act in 1911 to disarm recently arrivaled Italian immigrants and Eastern European immigrants. In California, gun control was originally passed to disarm Chinese laborers. It's interesting because they always constantly claim that, oh, if you're a gun owner, you're a racist, redneck, bigot, and this. Mind you, I'm a Cuban American. I'm in a mixed race marriage. My kid is black. My wife is black. But apparently I'm the racist one because I want everyone to be able to legally defend themselves from criminals.
How dare you? If you want ID for everybody to have an ID to vote, you're a racist. So what does that mean? That people of color or of other national origins aren't smart enough to go get some identification? What are you trying to say here? I don't know. That's like an insult to the people that don't have ID.
I mean, as a Hispanic American, it has never been rocket surgery for me to get a driver's license or a state-issued ID card. It was pretty simple. I figured it out when I turned 15. It's like, you know, I want to get a driver's license. Let me go to the DMV. Let me fill out the form and do it. Oh, there you go. It's ludicrous how people constantly make that argument of, oh, well, this will save people of color. It's like, actually, no, what would save people of color is if you get the hell off their back and let them defend themselves.
Right.
The people,
you know? Let's try to direct people back to keeping the nuclear family together and keep fathers in the homes of all races, all nationalities.
The idea that I constantly hear of, oh, well, you know, gun control is a plight in the lower income communities and the minority communities, you know, what people traditionally call the ghetto, the hood. And my answer to that is, no, it's not that gun violence is an epidemic there. It's the fact that most of these communities are in gun control enclaves. Again, looking at Los Angeles. Los Angeles has a rash of gun violence, especially in the lower economic neighborhoods, because it's incredibly hard and expensive for an individual in California to get a firearm. And even more so in New York City. If you go to the poor parts of New York City, you have a higher crime rate. Why? Because the people of lower economic status cannot afford the thousands of dollars they need to hire an attorney, to be politically connected and with someone at one police plaza at NYPD to get to get that piece of plastic. Not everyone is a Howard Stern or a Donald Trump where they're sitting on millions. A lot of good, hardworking people in these communities are completely disarmed and left to the mercy of criminals because the state treats them like a criminal. When all these people want to do is what every other American wants to do, make an honest living, have a roof over their head for themselves and their loved ones and their families, and have the ability to protect hearth and home from said interlopers.
Right. Well, we're right here. That was a great segue to head towards the ending segment of the show. that's a good way. That was a really solid exclamation. How do folks get in touch with Gun Owners of America if they want to join, and be part of this great organization? And tell folks a little bit about Gun Owners of America too, real quick, like how long you guys been around and stuff like that, because it's a seriously long tenure of Gun Owners of America, longer than NRA, correct?
So GOA, we were founded in 1976. We were the first political action committee directly related to gun rights. Prior to our existence, yes, the NRA existed, but for the majority of the NRA's existence, it was a sports shooting organization. It wasn't a gun rights organization. The NRA didn't really become involved in gun rights until 1978. So GOA has the righteous title to being the first gun rights lobbying political organization. We were founded in 1976. We are the no compromise organization. We earn that title with respect from Representative Ron Paul himself. We don't compromise. We're not going to sit here and we're not going to go. If lawmakers tell me, well, we'll give you permitted open carry in Florida if you let us pass universal background checks and assault weapons ban and a magazine ban. And I'm just going to be like, no, no,
right.
Constitutional carry or bust. Our entire purpose and our goal is to expand the Second Amendment for as many Americans as possible, because as a nation, our national motto is this, e pluribus unum, out of many one. It doesn't matter if you're from Texas, you're from New York, you're from Florida, you're from Puerto Rico, you're from Guam. It doesn't matter. You are an American. You have rights that you're born with. And I don't just cover Florida. I'm not just the Florida state director. I'm also the director of outreach for Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. And we are involved across the country, specifically because it's an American issue. And again, American doesn't mean you're a certain race, color, or creed. American means you believe in freedom and liberty, and you're an American. My family came here in 1961 from communist Cuba. We're American. We believe in freedom.
Amen.
So the best way to get involved with GOA is simple. Go to gunowners.org/join. It's just $25 a year, folks. That's it. And those $25, they go towards the fight. We don't spend our money. We don't spend your money on frivolous things. We make sure we try to be as financially responsible with our members' dollars, specifically to advance the cause.
And does Gun Owners of America have like a political grading system? Like, hey, he's an A-plus NRA member.
Oh yeah, we have a political grading system. We do endorsements. We very much track lawmakers. And here in Florida, like I said, I'm treating Sabatini's call for the special session for constitutional carry as if it was a floor vote on constitutional carry, because this is a way that every lawmaker could publicly show support or defiance for constitutional carry. So if they sign the petition, we're treating that as, hey, that was a floor vote. That was a yes for constitutional carry, because it's that darn important.
Excellent. It is. I agree 100%. We really got to get on board. And folks, listeners in the listening area or outside the Florida listening area, you can make a difference by calling the governor's office and saying, hey, I live in Connecticut and I would come to Florida if constitutional carry was passed, because I would feel safe when I'm out in the restaurant after a long day. And that number is 850-717-9337. Call Governor DeSantis. Tell him, Governor, constitutional carry and the special session, please. We're out here. We want it. We need it. We're fighting for it. We got your back. Do that kind of stuff. It's good. And Gun Owners, what is it? gunowners.org/join.
Yep, that's it. It's that simple.
You want to get over there, folks. Throw in your $25. Get your GOA sticker for your vehicle. I'm sure that you will get one. Like you see the NRA sticker, get your GOA sticker. Put it on your vehicle. The first political lobby in America, founded in 1976. Gun Owners of America. Get there now. $25. Join and become a member. You can't go wrong. They are fighting for your rights. And I want to thank Lewis for coming on the show. It's a really good show. You come on anytime, brother, whenever any developments arise that affect the Second Amendment, good or bad, please contact us and come on anytime. Make special provisions on any show to get you in for updates and information at any time.
Again, it's always an honor and a pleasure to be on. Thank you for having me on. And more importantly, I want to thank your listeners because I'm just one guy. I can't do what I do without good folks like you and your listeners. And I'm serious. That's why our national motto is E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. Together, we're that one loud, unified voice.
Amen. Thanks again, Lewis, and I hope to speak to you soon. Keep up the good fight, and God bless.
Definitely, brother. Keep up the fight.
There you have it, folks. Lewis Valdez, gun owners of America, Florida, and, of course, Puerto Rico and U.S. Virgin Islands, putting up the fight, keeping up the fight, fighting for you, fighting for me, fighting for our rights that are God-given, protected by the Constitution. We are a constitutional republic. And with that, I want to say, if you are within shot of a flag and you love this song as much as I do, I ask you to please rise, because at Patriot Nation Radio, we rise to the flag and we kneel at the cross. This is my good friend and patriotic rocker, Dave Bray. DaveBrayUSA.com. Music on a Mission has this version of the song. You can get it today, merchandise and other things. Head on over there right away. This is the Star Spangled Banner, and we'll be back right after this to wrap up the last 2 seconds of the show. So rise and join me. Star Spangled Banner. Dave Bray. Star Spangled Banner, Dave Bray. There we go. That's another episode of the Patriot Nation Radio Show. And don't forget, this Saturday out in the wonderful world of Disney here in the Orlando area of Florida, there will be a DeSantis flag wave happening. You can find out the information. It's all over Facebook. I thought I posted it on my page. I'm sitting here scrolling right now. I'll get that time here in 2 seconds. Just give me a second here. That's going to be right outside. Get some signs. Get some flags. And head on over to Orlando for the DeSantis flag wave that'll be taking place. I'm trying to dig up the exact time here. I'm almost there, getting close. So stick with me, folks. I'm almost there. Come on, now where is it? Holy moly, I buried it on his page. I can't get... Here we go. Disney World DeSantis flag wave Saturday, April 16th from 2 to 6. Hotel Plaza Boulevard and State Road 535 in Orlando. Disney's just gone too far, and folks ain't standing for it. So until we meet again, tune in next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the Patriot Nation Radio Show. And I don't want to forget a shout-out to James Bostic and A Conservative's Perspective, heard Tuesday night, 7 p.m., and we'll be returning to Thursday nights here pretty soon. And, of course, the American Allegiance Show with author Kevin White. He put out a book, Growing Up White. Check it out, and check out his show Wednesdays, 7 o'clock, right here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. And head on over there, click the follow button, and scroll through the archives. There's over 1,000 episodes with all kinds of guests, from folks like Luis Valdez from Gun Owners of America to Sebastian Gorka to Arizona Border Guards from 7-8 years ago. We've been doing this a long time. We got 9 years and 1,105 shows. There's plenty to listen to, plenty of information, plenty of truth, as only brought to you by Patriot Nation Radio can happen. So join us again next week, 8 o'clock, Thursday night, until we meet again. Good night. God bless. And Lewis, thank you so much, brother. Peace out. And have a great night. Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Easter. Good night.